Christmas Eve is one of those unusual times when a Unitarian Universalist minister is expected, even required, to drop the J-bomb. That's right, to talk about Jesus. As many of you know, I'm a relatively recent convert to Unitarian Universalism from a liberal Christian denomination. And although there's an immense power in digging deeply into one religious tradition, I'm grateful for the ways that Unitarian Universalism invites us to draw from the best of all the world's religions, as well as the best of modern science. There's an old Christian hymn whose refrain is, "I love to tell the story." 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story, can anybody repeat it, of Jesus and his love. And part of me does love the old, old stories, whether Christian stories or other ancient stories. And I intentionally chose to have the biblical passage we read earlier read from the King James Version. Of course, for academic purposes, this 1611 translation is four centuries out of date, but for poetic resonance, the King James rendering of the Bible remains a timeless classic. At the same time, as much as I sometimes love to hear the old, old story, if we're going to continue to grow and mature as a species, we also need to hear the new story of current events and cutting-edge research. And many Christian traditions follow a three-year set of readings in which Advent, the 4 weeks preceding Christmas, marks a beginning of retelling that old, old story, starting again each year with Jesus' birth, told in year one from Matthew, year two from Mark, year three from Luke. And I've attended many beautiful Christmas Eve candlelight services that focused exclusively on biblical readings of that old, old story of what happened in one small corner of the world in the first century. And I love that story. And there is a subversively transformative power in that old, old story of what happened with that first century Jewish peasant named Jesus. But this evening, in addition to hearing part of that old, old story, you are invited to hear some much more recent readings. First, of the Middle Ages, more than a millennia after Jesus' birth, Meister Eckhart, reflecting on the insufficiency of simply rehearsing the old, old story, wrote, "What good is it to me if Mary gave birth to the Son of God 1,400 years ago, if I do not also give birth to the Son of God in my time and in my culture?" We are all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born. And since Meister Eckhart is male, Meister just means master in German, he is obviously speaking metaphorically about every human being needing to be a mother of God. And whatever we mean by the word God, from the ground of all being to the spirit of life to the interdependent web of all existence, Meister Eckhart's words challenge us that there is a sense in which it matters less what happened in first century Galilee than whether we take up the challenge today of birthing the best of what we are uniquely capable of making manifest in this world, both individually and together as a congregation. As Marianne Williams has said in a quote that seems particularly appropriate in a Christmas Eve candlelight service, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, famous? Who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not deserve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children naturally do. You were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within you, and it is not just in some of us, it is within all of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. We are all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born." In our second reading, we heard from Jan Richardson about how we need to not only be mothers of God, we need midwives to help us, and we need to be midwives to others. We need companions who will breathe with us, groan with us, hold us in the struggle, and celebrate with us even when the birthing does not go as planned. We need sisters and brothers who will encourage us to rest when we're tired, eat when we're hungry, and weep when we are grieving, that we may be strengthened to encourage and labor with others when the occasion arises. And that's a large part of what continues to draw many of us together each week to this place. As one famous definition of Unitarian Universalism goes, it's a blessing each of you were born, and it matters what you do with your life. What you know about God is a piece of the truth, and you don't have to walk through this life alone. In a few moments, we'll each light our individual candles, but our collective light will shine brighter than any of our candles could alone. And there may be times in the coming year when your light dims, flickers, or threatens to go out. May this candle lighting ritual and the memory of it remind you in those times of the support that this community and others like it can provide. In our final reading, Bruce Sangwin reminded us of the 13.7 billion-year-old universe story. It's not just about the last 2,000 years. The 13.7 billion-year-old universe story that culminates in each new present moment. This moment right now could not happen without a 13.7 billion-year-old history that preceded it. And when considered from an evolutionary perspective, Brian Swim has written that we human beings are stardust. Stardust now evolved to the place that stardust can think about itself. We are the universe becoming conscious of itself. We are stardust that has begun to contemplate the stars. We've arisen out of the dynamics of the Earth. 4 billion years ago, this planet was molten rock. Now it sings opera. This is good news. So yes, the story of Jesus is an incredible, inspiring story, but Jesus' birth is not the center of history. It's not even close. It's only one of countless turning points in our continuing human history. And on this holy night, no less, does the cosmos coalesce in us as we take our place on the stage of sacred mystery. I'm grateful to be with you tonight to sing and tell the old story, but I'm also grateful for the opportunity to partner with you this night and in all the days and nights to come in co-creating a new and more hopeful future for us and for future generations. May we continue to work together in the new year, in 2014, which is almost here, to bring about more peace on this earth, more justice, more equity. May we support each other, sharing our light, or leaning on each other's light when our candle flickers or dims. And may we learn to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born.